The first reading is taken from Psalm 98, 1-9. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea respond and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
The second reading comes from Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 to 19. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors and on account of my name, and you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win."
Well, I was looking at those two readings and I was quite tempted to speak about that second one, Luke 21. Which is about both the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, when indeed the temple was brought down and not one stone was left standing on another. But it's also, as well as that, it's also about the second coming of Jesus at the end of time. And Jesus' disciples ask the first question that everyone seems to want to know: when is that going to happen? And Jesus never answers directly. In fact, he says nobody actually knows. But what he does say is, "Watch out that you are not deceived. Be alert. Stay watchful. Stay ready." But we've spoken about these things before now. So I thought, actually, instead of that, I want to look at our first reading, Psalm 98. Our first reading, page 603, if you've got a Bible. And it starts with the words Cantate Domino, sing to the Lord in English. And for 3,000 years and more, people have responded in song. Line 2 says, gives you the reason why. For he has done marvellous things. In other words, God's worth it. God's done great things. And as we sing his praise, we're reminded of how great our God is. And I think other people around us begin to realize it also. So I think that the theme for today, for what I want to say, is magnifying the Lord, magnifying Jesus. I think it's a great word, that magnify. Literally, it means to make something greater or bigger. Technically, of course, we use lenses, telescopes, microscopes, magnifying glasses to make objects appear bigger so we can study them more closely. And for centuries, we've also said that we magnify the Lord when we praise him and glorify him. You might think of Mary's song of praise in Luke chapter 1 when she discovers that she's going to be the mother of the Son of God. And she sings that song of praise that we call Magnificat. In the old prayer book, my soul doth magnify the Lord. In modern versions, my soul glorifies the Lord. Now, of course, we don't actually change the size of God himself. We don't make God greater or more powerful in any way. None of us can do that. We don't have that much influence. But if you think about it, when we look at a star or a planet through a telescope or binoculars, of course we don't change its actual size. But what we do change is its apparent size. It appears larger to us. And I think that's a good analogy. When we praise God, when we sing of God's glory, then what happens is God appears greater to us as we do so, and indeed to those who are listening around about. We exalt God in the sight of those around us. Somebody in Oldham actually went to the hairdresser a couple of weeks ago, and the hairdresser said, "What did you do at the weekend?" And she said, "Oh, I went to church." And the hairdresser said, "Do people still do that? Is that still a thing?" How sad that is, isn't it? But she was just, in her little way, she was actually saying, yes, God's worth it. God's worth our worship. Actually, Harry Jackson here said something very similar to his newsagent. What did you do for the weekend? Oh, I went to church. The newsagent said, oh, God. And Harry said, yeah, he was there too, actually. Well done, Harry. Always good with a joke. In fact, I think it's good if we just simply witness to God's presence among us. In doing so, we exalt God. We make him known and greater to those around us. I wonder if you remember 2 weeks ago I spoke about blasphemy. In other words, people casually saying, oh my God, OMG, or indeed Jesus Christ. What that does is that has the opposite effect. It's putting God down, using God's name as a swear word to express shock. I mentioned that to my fellow tutor on the course in Christian Studies, CCS, and she just didn't get it. She couldn't see that it was a problem. She thought, oh, it's just a modern exclamation with little meaning. I was reading in the newspaper this week the story of a journalist in the paper who couldn't have a baby. They were trying hard, they tried all kinds of treatments, all kinds of fertility treatments, and eventually they turned to a surrogate mother who would go through with the implantation of an embryo. And they were all on the edge of their seats, this lady and her husband. Would the surrogate be pregnant or not? Would it actually work? And eventually the test was made, and the test came through positive. The surrogate was pregnant, and the journalist and her husband were actually in separate countries at the time, but they responded separately with the identical phrase, OMFG. It's no longer shocking enough just to say OMG on its own. You need to insert an F, and no prizes for guessing what that stood for. I thought our language about God, the way we speak about God, reveals his place in our estimation. Do we hold God high? Do we value him? Do we appreciate him? Do we worship him? Or do we treat him casually, even as a swear word a profanity. I want to encourage you to magnify the Lord very consciously, not to diminish him, but to exalt him in your words and in your lives. Show your faith Monday to Saturday as well as Sunday. Not because you're holier than thou, of course not, but because as you do that, it changes your world and it changes those around you and their world. In other words, your life and your behaviour actually has an impact on those around you. In the gospel stories, Jesus healed people, Jesus did miraculous things. And then as the crowd gathered and said, "What's going on here?" Then Jesus told them about the kingdom of God. He said, "The kingdom of God is like this, like what you've just seen. God is conquering sin. God is getting rid of disease and even death itself." And so our lives are actually a witness to those around us. We may not realize it always, but people may occasionally ask questions about us and about what we do. And that's a time, I think, to witness to God. Christian Youth Outreach, CYO, in Colchester, has a new chaplain, Stuart. And Stuart's working in a tough secondary school, Colchester Academy, over in Greenstead on the far side. And those kids are hard. They don't respect their teachers, but they've seen Stuart's life among them and his efforts to help them, and they respect him because of what they've seen of him. What's his secret? Well, they see Jesus in Stuart's life. Now, I know there are some people who are just born nice, naturally. They have an attractive character, and people sort of gravitate towards them and want to spend time with them. But I want to say to you, if you draw close to Jesus, and if you ask him to change you, then you can actually become a more attractive person. Because people will see Jesus in you, as those kids do in Stuart. And Jesus' character is always attractive. Now, I know some people worry about this, that they're going to become some kind of clone, some sort of cardboard cutout Christian, perhaps even a bit weird or odd. Can I say, in fact, the reverse is true? In fact, the Spirit of Jesus enables us to become the best version of ourselves, the person that we were really meant to be, the person that God created us to be. Because God, by his Spirit, God enhances our character. He brings out our true personality, which gets masked by sin and evil. And God begins to, if you like, work in our hearts to bring out our true personality. It's the devil's lie that sin is fun and that God is boring. Because in fact, the reverse is true. That sin is depressing and God is exciting. Now, I want to speak more about that in the new year. I want to talk over a few sermons about gossiping the gospel, how we can chat to people about Jesus in a way that's not odd at all, but is actually easy and natural. But can I say for now, as we approach the season of Advent and Christmas, as we begin to sort of look at the stories of the Nativity, let's look forward to the coming of Jesus. Let's welcome him and let's magnify his name and praise him. Let's pray as we finish. Lord, help us not to run you down in public, but to do the reverse, to magnify your name, to exalt you before others, to praise and worship you in our day-to-day lives. Help us, Lord, to be your people, not just on Sundays, but on Monday to Saturday as well. In Jesus' name, amen.